Praise God.
Well, one of the privileges of when we travel and we minister into churches, Michelle and I have done about 150 weddings, and we've counseled at least another 150 to 200 people. So we're about 350 counseling sessions into marriage counseling. And the neat part about being 350 marriage counseling sessions in is that you figure out every couple deals with this. Like all 350 deal with some things, right? And so they come into your office and they get all knotted up like, this is the issue, you know. And you go, yeah, everybody deals with that. That's not you. That's not specific. It's nothing wrong with your marriage. Any man and any woman, they deal with this. So relax, right? And so it's kind of like that when we travel from church to church. You go to churches and they go, whoa, we've got knots, you know. We've got weirdos. I go, every church has got weirdos. Everybody's got the weird Uncle Bob or somebody, you know, he's at the back and he does weird things. And everybody's got weird people in the church. But if you travel through enough churches, you get to have a taste of what residue is on the church. And that's the neat part about coming in from outside. And the neat part about us coming to you guys every year is we come and we have a snapshot. We kind of take the fragrance of what the Lord's doing in your church. And then we go away for a year, and we come back, and we go, wow, look at what the Lord's doing. And so I thought, just for what it's worth, if you're interested, let me give you my 5 cents worth of what I see in your church. Is that good? Feels like a few years ago, there was some real friction in the church. And sometimes there's reasons for friction. Sometimes it's because you're doing something wrong, and that's creating friction. And sometimes friction is caused by selfish ambition. Because the scripture says, where you have selfish ambition and vain conceit, there you find disorder and every evil practice. And so when somebody allows selfish ambition to rule their life, and they come into a church, or they're in a church and selfish ambition takes root, they start to attack what exists because it doesn't line up with their selfish ambition. Make sense? So there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the church. But from a selfish ambition point of view, everything's wrong with the church because it's not doing what I want it to do. Am I making any sense to anyone? And so what has to happen is either a repentance needs to occur of the selfish ambition or a blessed subtraction needs to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, unfortunately, there was a blessed subtraction necessary, which brought about a time of peace in your church. And so the last 2 years we've been coming here, we've just sensed the Lord's fragrance on the churches. Just heal and relax. Just, it's okay. Just stay in the space. Be healed. This year we've come, and it feels like the Holy Spirit's in. Let's go and take some hill country. It's like, you guys are healed up? Good. Let's go and take some inheritance. That's what it really feels like in the Spirit. And so I want to just commend you as a church. Also, we get to travel from church to church. And there are some things that Jesus said, this is how you can tell. Jesus said, they'll know you if you love one another. This is how you can tell. If the people love one another. Warts and all. Weird Uncle Al and all. If you love one another. Right? This is how you can know they're Christians. This is how they're following me. That's what you measure. And I just want to say to you guys, the Bridge, thank you for the way you love. I really do appreciate that. You really are family. You really do care about one another. And that really is evident when you come from outside. And I just want to commend you as a church, really. I want to say thank you. Thank you. You guys are ahead of the curve. You guys are ahead of the curve in terms of healthy churches. So we do this quite a bit. And I just wanted to say well done. And it feels like the Lord is about set to take you places and take some new ground with you and restore some inheritance to you. And so I'm going, thank you, Lord. This is very, very cool. But I just wanted to take a moment to let you know that, because it's no use we go home and we say good things about you behind your back. It doesn't help you. But I just wanted to commend you. Thank you. Thank you for the way you love. Thank you for the way you love our Lord. Thank you for the way you pull together. And I sense the Lord's going to use you. You're going to take some new ground. You're still going to get known. You're still going to get known again for what God does through you in the next few years. It's very exciting. Now, I want to just pick up a little bit maybe it's an issue of I'm getting older and I'm feeling my mortality. I'm dealing with my mom is old and I'm dealing with all the issues, and it feels like everywhere I turn, I'm noticing people who are in their 80s and 90s, and I'm going, Lord, I want to get stuff done before I get there. Not that they can't do anything. It's just that they can't do as much as they can do as I can do right now. So I'm going, Lord, I want the next 20 years of my life. I want to swap the next 20 years of my life for as much eternal weight as I can. All right? So I'm going to swap the next 20 years for something. I'm going to swap them for watching TV or for pursuing a career or for becoming an artist or for advancing the kingdom. I'm going to swap these 20 years of energy and opportunity and time for something. And it's like the Lord has arrested Michelle and I at the beginning of this year to say, you know what, Lord, we're prepared to swap the next 20 years. We're going to give it all we've got for 20 years, but we want eternal weight of glory. And so I'm in that mode. And when you get into that mode, you go, look, I don't need theory. I don't want to spend the next 20 years spinning my tail, running, chasing rainbows. I want, tell me what works. Tell me how I can execute. Tell me what pleases the Lord. I'm into that. And I want to do it from now for the next 20 years. So that's the kind of mode I'm in. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the practical realities to receiving your inheritance. Okay? So it's been great, but I want to talk about some really where the rubber meets the road, some practical realities. And I'm not talking theory. I'm telling you stuff that really works for me. That really works. And we've understood that the anointing on Jesus and the anointing, therefore, on the church is to reassign desolate inheritances. The inheritance, God took his people into the inheritance. It was blessed. It became a desolate inheritance because the people would not listen. And so one of the keys that you discover is the way that those people, Israel, lost their inheritance was because they would not listen to the Lord, and the way they regained, or they first took their inheritance, was because they listened to the Lord. Okay? So there are many, many scriptures that talk about the process of how Israel lost the inheritance and how what was once a beautiful land became a desolate inheritance. And the best one that's the shortest is in Zechariah 7 and from verse 11 to 14. This is the Lord just describing the process of how Israel in the inheritance made it a desolate land. He said this, they made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets, nor would they listen to my law. So the Lord Almighty was very angry, and when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I did not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. The land they left behind them was so desolate that no one traveled through it. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate. And this is why the restoration, the word of God over the Messiah was that he would reassign the desolate inheritance. He would restore the land, reassign that which has been made desolate through refusal to listen to the voice of God. Messiah was going to change all of that so that he was going to position us so that we would be the people who walk in all the will of the Lord. And so one of the keys that you find is that one of the things the Lord is going to call you to, it's going to be that the Holy Spirit woos you to a place where he wants to whisper to you. He wants to whisper to you, he wants to guide you into all truth. This is the promise of Jesus. He said that when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He'll take from what is mine, make it known to you. He will guide you. And we're going to look at some of those realities. But when Jesus came, understanding that Jesus knew that the anointing on him was to reassign inheritance, when he in his first sermon, he comes out of the desert, he goes to his hometown, he opens the scroll, and he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Do you understand? There's a brokenhearted. Jesus said, the anointing's on me to change the brokenheartedness and to proclaim freedom for captives, release of darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. This is Isaiah 61. Jesus didn't read the day of vengeance piece. to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Do you understand the restoration? He said, I will come to what's desolate and I'll make it a beautiful land. This is the anointing on Jesus and is the same anointing that is on you as a church. Now, if you understand that that's the reality, that this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do, the deposit who guarantees your inheritance, he is looking to speak to you and to lead you step by step into the inheritance he has for you. If you are those people who dare to put your foot down and who understand that although I did not work for this inheritance, although it was freely given to me, I am going to have to take it at the tip of the sword. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. We're going to listen to the voice of the Lord. The Lord is going to say, step in. You're going to take some ground. And as you step according to the word of the Lord, God is going to give you an inheritance that you do not think is possible for you to take because they're bigger than you. And God said it a number of times. He said, listen, I understand that the nations who currently inhabit the land are bigger and more numerous than you are. But I'm going to give them to you. So you ask, well, then how did the Lord assign these issues? So if you want to look at Numbers 34, the whole chapter, Numbers 34, outlines Moses discussing how God was going to do this. And so God gives, I'm not going to read it all, but God gives to Moses the details of the outskirts of the land of Israel. He said, this is the northern, the southern, the eastern, western boundaries. And this is what the Lord is going to give you. And then the Lord says, in verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, these are the names of the men who are to assign the land for you as an inheritance. Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. Eleazar was the son of Aaron. He was the high priest at the time. Joshua took Moses' place. So you had the high priest and you had the leader of the nation. And God said, these are the two men who will stand in my presence to assign the inheritance. And then he said, appoint one leader from each tribe to help assign the land. And these are the names of those people. So God didn't say, you appoint a leader. He said, a leader will be appointed for you. And he tells them, Caleb, son of Jephaniah, Shemuel, son of Amadad, Eliad, son of Kislon, Buki, son of Jogli, Haniel, son of Ephod, and I can go on. But the names are all there. And he says, these are the 12 men that I've chosen. These are the leaders of the tribe. Now, he said, now this is how it works. You are going to come and stand. The high priest and Joshua are going to stand facing each other outside the tent of meeting. And my glory will come there. And he said, in the presence of the Lord, I want you to each of the leaders of the tribes to come and stand there, and I will make an allotment out of this nation. I will make an allotment for that tribe. Then that leader calls up the families, and by lot, out in the presence of the Lord, as each family comes and submits themselves under this leadership to the call of God, God said, I will assign an inheritance to them, and that will be their inheritance. Now, you could never lose that inheritance. That inheritance was given by God Almighty to you and your family in perpetuity. And you could only ever lose it if you took out a loan against the land. Every loan had to be repaid and forgiven in 7 years. If you had to sell the entire land, it could only be given until the Jubilee year, the 49th year. Then it was restored to your family. All debts were completely forgiven. And so in Israel, it was known that if you had to sell your land, they would count the number of years till Jubilee. Because if I was buying your land and there's only 2 years left to Jubilee, then I only had two years worth of crops, and I only paid you what the land was worth for 2 years. Because I understood, Jubilee comes, you walk back onto your land and say, hey, get off my land. It's my land. Get out of my house. Oh, and by the way, that $1 million I owe you, ha ha ha. Not anymore. And so this inheritance was a God-given thing, but I wanted to just talk a little bit about the fact that inheritance came by leaders that God appointed. The inheritance did not just come because Israelites said, well, I think I'm just going to take this piece. So there is this moment where we have to understand that there are some things we're going to take together as a tribe. And a tribe needs to be together in submission to the Lordship of God. And so if we're going to progress into inheritance, we have to come in our ranks. We have to come in submission. And we walk together. We submit ourselves to the leaders that God has appointed. That doesn't mean the leaders that God appointed always are right. It just means that as a general principle, I walk in submission to the leaders God appoints. Because the scripture says in the New Covenant, it says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority because they watch over you as men and must give an account. And he says, obey them because give them honor because of their work in the Lord. He said, because it is of no advantage to you if you don't make their job a joy. He says, make their job easy. Work with them. Submit. Work with them. He said, because if you don't, there is no advantage to you. Stop. Meditate on that line just for a minute. There is no advantage to those who will not submit themselves to God-appointed leadership. And you can take it to the bank. You can put lipstick on that pig. It's still a pig. We have people who go and they leave our church. I'm not trying to control them, but they get knotted and they get weird. Why? Because there's something in them of a rebellious spirit. And they go, we are not going to submit to you. We are going to go do our own thing. And I have seen people leave our church and not one of them is doing well. It goes poorly with them. Because I'm magical, but because the word of God says, if you won't do this, there is no advantage to you. No advantage. Sorry. You're not sorry, you're smart. Testing. Ah.
Made my voice funny.
Whatever. So. Can I just say this to you? We track with a few churches. I've seen a few leadership teams. I've seen gifted people, and I've seen amazingly gifted people. And you know the people that I esteem are the people who in the secret places will weep for the sheep, and they'll lay their lives down, and they care. And they eat rubbish, and they endure accusation that they don't deserve, and people slander them, and they stick with it. And they're undervalued and underpaid, and those are the kinds of people that I esteem with all my heart. Genuinely. And you guys have leaders like that here. People who will lay down their lives for you. Who will pour out their lives and honor and do what the Lord says, no matter if it's convenient or inconvenient. They'll be here, they'll serve, they'll eat rubbish, they'll take the attitudes, they'll take the rubbish and they'll just pour out love. And they'll keep going. And they do it not because just because you're wonderful. They'll do it because the Lord has required them to do this. This is their space. See, when Saul disobeyed God, God said to him, I have found a man after my own heart. He wasn't talking about David's worship. He was talking about in the context of a governmental style. Because God was watching one day. David was out there worshiping, and then a lion came to take one of the sheep, and he put down his lyre, and he picked up his stick, and he went out, and he put his own life at risk to save that sheep. And the lion turned on him. And attacked him, and he smacked the lion, and he wore a lion's tail belt for the rest of his days. And then he was worshiping one day, and then a bear came, and he did the same thing. And he put his own life at risk for the sake of the sheep. And when God was looking for a king, and he said, I'm not going to have Saul, he was looking around, he said, I know, there's a shepherd hidden away in the back country out there. That's the kind of shepherd I want for my people. Right? And I just want to say, you guys have those kinds of shepherds here. And I just want to honor it. I want to honor this team. Mark and Bridget, thank you for your sacrifice. For the rest of you elders, I really appreciate it. You guys have poured out your life. It's not common to find people who are willing to stand in the spotlight. That's easy. To find people who sign up for the, the positive, the nice pieces of ministry. Oh, I'll preach. I'll just show up and preach. I'm sign me up for that one. To find people who will weep for the sheep in the secret places, who pour out their own finances and their own detriment and their own reputation for the sake of his bride, those are few and far between. And when you find them, please honor them. Please see them for who they are. Just ordinary people with an extraordinary heart for you. Make their job easy. Because when you make their job easy, there's advantage for you. That's what the Bible teaches. And so, one of the ways that you get to walk into your inheritance is that you stand with these leaders in the presence of the Lord, and he speaks out of that. This is yours. And I just want to go. You say, well, how is this practical? I'm telling you, this is one of the most practical issues I can tell you about how you get your inheritance. Is you walk in submission and honor of the leaders that God has appointed for you. I've told you the story before. I won't tell it again. My daughter somehow caught that she should honor us. And she was driving. She was 15. We were driving. And I'd always joked with her. I said, baby, when you turn 16, you can have whatever car you can afford. Right? I'd always joke with her. And because I wanted to teach her, look, don't look at me. You got to work, you know. So we're driving. She's 15, and she's about to get her learner's permit. And she goes, she was working two jobs. She was teaching piano, and she was babysitting. And she goes, Dad, I'm working, but at this rate, I'll never have enough money. And she says, I know you won't help me. She's like, bad father. So I go, no, I will help. But why don't we ask the Lord? We're on the way to school. I said, why don't we ask the Lord to give you a car? Because, yeah. That'd be cool. So we pray together. Lord, could you give her a car? Less 3 days later, family calls us up. Could you come around 9:30 at night? We go around. They go, the Lord's blessed us. We have a new car and we'd like to give you this car. We pray the Lord should give you this car. It's a V6 coupe. Michelle drives it. Sports car. Michelle had a Ford Focus, which my daughter loved. So 3 days later, we're given a car. Michelle drives the sports car. Nicole gets a car. My sister calls and says, I just feel like I should like to help Nicole with a car. And she gives $2,500. She says, I can give this. So 3 days later, my daughter has a car, $2,500 to service it. She gets to church that Sunday, so that's now 8 days later, and there's $600 in an envelope with her name on it on the chair. She gets the first $600 gas paid, the first $2,500 worth of servicing paid, and a car given to her of one prayer. Lord, could I just have a poof? Right? So I go to the Lord. I go, Lord, whatever that was, I'd like to tap back into that. I'd like to tap back into that deal. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, son, you've given away two motor cars because I told you to, and you've sold two other cars way below market price because they were Christians. He said, in this area of vehicles, you have sown, you have fought wars, and she gets it free. She inherits free because she honors you. Because this is the first command with a promise. If you'll honor your father and mother, it'll go well with you in the land of your inheritance. And so every time my daughter honors us, she rides in on our back. Every victory, everything we sowed and sweated and bled for is hers by inheritance right. She doesn't have to do a thing for it. It is her inheritance. Because an inheritance is something somebody else earned and gave to you freely. A salary is something that you earned and somebody pays you at the end of the month. But an inheritance is something somebody else fought and bled for, and Jesus died for, and when he died, he left it to you as an inheritance. And so when my daughter honors us, she rides in on our back. Every inch of ground we take is hers by inheritance rights. And so when we're praying and say, Lord, could you just boom? Okay, there was no fight. There was no, the Lord said, yeah, you fought and bled over that stuff. She gets it for free because she honored you. Because the first command with a promise. Everything you dishonor, you have no inheritance with. This is why dishonoring church leadership is a foolish thing to do. Even though sometimes we're stupid. Because we're just people too. But if you want it to go well in the land of your inheritance, then honor is the primary vehicle of how you accomplish that. I tell you the truth. Learn to walk in honor. Because everything you choose to honor, you have an inheritance from. You know what I've done? I went back through all the leaders, church leaders in my life, and I started honoring them. Because there's some massive inheritance for me. I go, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the love you poured out on me. Thank you for the time. I bless and honor you. Why? Because I want my inheritance. And honor is the primary vehicle of inheritance. He said, you want your inheritance? Come stand here. Where's your leader? All right. Where's the leader of the leaders of the nation? In the presence of the Lord. The leader of your tribe, come here. Now, in that understanding, this is what the Lord says to you. And through the leaders of the nation, and through the leader of your tribe, the Lord spoke a word to you about your inheritance. Number two, is it comes out of the presence of the Lord. In Joshua 18, if you want to go read it some, where they actually did this, Joshua 18, chapter 18, and the whole of chapter 19 as well, is that when they go through all the tribes, they go, the lot fell first to this tribe, and they said, okay, come up, and they drew lots, and they said, that's the piece of land for you, and then they went through all the tribes like that. And right at the end of Joshua 19, it says, these are the territories that Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel assigned by lot at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And so they finished dividing the land. The inheritance came at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Again, I'm just trying to be as practical as I can. You want to find your inheritance? It's found at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Take some time to sneak away to the secret place in the cleft of the rock, in the mountainside, and go to the tent of meeting and meet with the Lord. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Your inheritance comes out of the presence of the Lord. It's not like the Lord's going to charge you up with one message and send you out. No, He's going to woo you to the tent of meeting. And He's going to speak with you there. And from that presence of the Lord, you're going to execute and come back to the tent of meeting. And execute and come back to the tent of meeting. And I just want to encourage you. I'm not like, God's still going to love you if you don't come and to the secret place and have lonely places, times with Him. I just want to tell you, you want an inheritance, you want to reach out and grab hold, practically grab hold. It comes, the courage, the battle, the anointing comes in the presence of the Lord, in a meeting time between you and He. And you say, how does that happen? I don't know for you how it's going to happen. Sometimes it happens for me in the scriptures. Sometimes it happens to me when I'm just almost asleep. Sometimes it happens to me when I'm listening to worship. Sometimes the encounters are beautiful and I weep in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes my heart burns for things in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes it's like a treasure hunt that the Lord just gives me the first little whisper and I start tracking it and I look up and I've spent 3 hours running through the treasure map of the Word to find it. Still haven't found the treasure, but I know there's gold in these hills somewhere. How's it going to work for you? I don't know, but if you'll take the time often to withdraw yourself to the lonely places and the secret meeting place of the Most High, if you will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, then I will say of the Lord, He is my portion. And He will assign you your portion and your lot. So practically, Greg, how do I do this? Get away to lonely places. Because the inheritance comes out of the presence of the Lord. Number three, practical. Get a clear picture. I want to read to you from Joshua 3. This was the process that Joshua said, because remember, Joshua 3 is this interesting passage. Seven of the tribes still haven't, they've been 7 years, they still haven't taken their inheritance. And so this is what Joshua says: appoint three men from each tribe, and I will send them out to make a survey of the land, to write a description of it according to the inheritance of each. Then they will return to me, and you are to divide the land into seven parts. And Judah is to remain in its territory to the south, and the tribes of Joseph in their territory to the north. And after you have written descriptions of the seven parts of the land, bring them here to me, and I will cast lots for you in the presence of the Lord our God. And so that's what they did. They went out, they sent three guys from every tribe, the surveyors, they surveyed all the land that was available, and they came back, and they gave Joshua, they said, this is great. I mean, there's two hills there, there's a great waterfall in the middle of that, there's this beautiful little valley there, there's trout and there's bass in that dam, and then there's, woo, it's a party over there, watch out for the bears. They did the whole survey, they came back, they had a very accurate picture of everything that was theirs. Part of the reason that they were happy to sit on the western bank was because they thought that was as pretty as the land got. Then they went out and looked over there, and they said, that's astoundingly beautiful. What the heck are we sitting here for? Part of the problem for many people is that you don't know how good it is out there, so you're happy with here, because most people are more comfortable with the familiar than the unfamiliar. Even if the unfamiliar holds full of promise, I'm just happy here. And so in order to break that, what they had to do is send out spies and come back with a good report. And one of the things that I think is going to help stir you is if you'll get into the scriptures and go and spy out the land. Well, there's some people who are actually seeing miracles as a common thing every week. That's part of my inheritance. I want it. I don't want one or two miracles. I want 50 or 60 a week. Because it's available. I don't want to have one or two prophets in the church. I want a church full of prophetic. I want us not to have enough time. I don't want to just have worship. I want worship sets that last 8 hours and feels like 20 minutes. Because that's part of our inheritance. But until you know that that's part of your inheritance, you think that the worship you currently have is amazing. Does that make sense? I'm not picking on the worship. I think you guys do have great worship. I'm just saying, compared to what you could have. So the only way you get from here to there is you go and figure that out. You go and spy out the land. And some of you need to just get into the scriptures. Just open up your Bible a little more and begin to read what God says about what is available to you. Because it'll start to provoke you. There's a 1,000-acre meadow in a valley with beautiful mountains, with a waterfall that'll take your breath away. And at the apex of that valley, a giant has built a house that has a vineyard around it and fields. And it has this deck that goes on forever with an eternity pool. And it's gorgeous. And you could be living there because it's on the property that's assigned to you. Or you could sit here on the dusty bank. And then lastly, I just want to say this. And then we're going to practice something. The pace, remember we've spoken about this a few times. The pace is fascinating to me. It's up to you. In Exodus 23:28, this is what the Lord said. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year. Because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. If you went down, if Lord gave Toronto into your hands, this, and you went out and we dared to walk against Toronto and God wiped them all out in front of you, and you could walk into any house, any building, any place you wanted. What's a big mall in Toronto? So Yorkdale falls in your territory. And the Lord says, there you go, that's yours. So now you've only got 3 kids. There's 140 stores. So you say to your kid, what do you want? You want a restaurant? Yeah, take 7. So that's what the Lord said. I can't drive them out too quickly because it'll all just become desolate. So I'm going to drive them out little by little till you've grown a bit. Till you have 30 or 40 kids. You go, hey, what do you want? Well, I want some stores. We'll have some stores. Take 4 houses. You, those 50 houses, those are yours. Sleep a different night in each house. That's what the Lord did for them. So he said, I'm not going to drive them all out that quickly. But the pace is up to you. Now, I tell you a secret. If you say, I want to go up there where the eagles fly. I want to touch God. We want to see the power and the glory of God. I'm going to live in this realm. Then the Lord commits to working with you to create in you what is necessary to sustain you there. Because if you're going to live up here, you need this much patience and this much leadership and this much character and this much perseverance. And so you go, Lord, I want to go up there. And the Holy Spirit says, I absolutely. And he begins to work in you what is necessary to sustain you there. Are you tracking? So what inevitably happens, you have this intimate moment, say, Lord, I want to go up there where the eagles fly. And the next thing, all pressure just hits you. Poof! Like, what happened? I was so sweet, Jesus, you can have everything. Boom, there's pressure. The Lord goes, yeah. Yeah. But Lord, I said nice things. He goes, yeah, I'm working with you. And so the Lord says to me, well, just lower your vision. Because if you don't want to be up there, if you want to be down here, then I don't need to teach you anything. You don't need any more lessons. If you want a good marriage, you don't have to learn another thing. You already know how to have a good marriage. If you want an excellent marriage, then there's going to be some heat in the kitchen. So you go, I want to be up here in 6 months' time. The Lord goes, okay. What's going on, Lord? He goes, I'm working with you. Remember? Then the Lord says to me, just drop your vision. I go, no way. Because if you want to get up there, but you want to take 20 years, then the gradient is like that. Is that fair? So the pace is up to you. Where do you want to be? At what time? It's amazing to me. Some people come into the church, get born again, baptized in the Spirit, and they hit this gradient that just goes like this. Plant, poof, out, gone. 4 or 5 years, done. Planted a church. So other people stay in the church, and they're on the 30, 40-year gradient. And you ask, why? Because they want to. Pace is up to you. Honestly, I believe that. I want it all, and I want it now. Well, then, strap in. Buckle up. It's going to be a ride. Because God is going to partner with you. He's going to partner with you. Because he's faithful to partner with you. And he said, if you put your foot on it, you can have it. I'll partner with you. Give me the hill country. Because you know you're going to have to kill some giants. Absolutely. Well, let's go. Let's go kill some giants. You can have it. But the reality was that these people sat for 7 years and they didn't do anything. They were on the 400-year plan to inherit the land.